college football maven, Big Ten aficionado, creator, founder, CEO, CFO, the king of the Big Ten Network, Dave Revson.
Go Cats.
The Rebber talks Big Ten and college football with Waddle and Sylvie.
Go Cats.
On ESPN 1000.
Go Cats.
All right, everyone's trying to come up with a plan. Baseball is back, and things have gone relatively smooth in the last few days. Theo Epstein joined us earlier, told us no positive tests today. Everyone testing negative, so we're 2 weeks away from opening day for the Cubs and the White Sox. The NHL is getting to their two cities, and the NBA is getting to their bubble in Orlando. But the biggest newsmaker in the last 48 hours has been college football. And things started with the Big Ten yesterday going to conference seasons. But will that even have to be delayed? And we said, who can we talk to about this? And one guy came to mind, of course. It's the guy that we talk to every fall, and he's been awesome with us and on the Big Ten Network. And a great friend to both of us, Dave Revson, joins us right now. Hi, Rever. How you feeling?
Rever.
I am doing great. I think the more operative question is, how are you doing, Sylvie? You doing all right?
Yeah, feeling as good as I could, you know, during all this. Things are, knock on wood, going well. I appreciate that.
Great, so, buddy.
Thank you. And thanks for asking, and thanks for the text. So what do you think, Rever, when you heard the news yesterday, where do you believe we're going with this?
You know, I think yesterday was all about trying to eliminate some variables. I think there's kind of this notion of, you know, in anything in life, right, kind of control what you can control. And I think the fact that you're just playing conference games, that you're playing it against schools that will have presumably similar testing protocols, and then you'll have some flexibility built into your schedule. So in other words, you can say, you know, let's say it's 10 games over 13 or 14 weeks, then you allow yourself the ability to, if you have to cancel a game here or there or postpone a game, maybe you can work it out amongst yourselves to rearrange it. I think it just buys you some flexibility, and it definitely gives you less in terms of travel. And then doesn't expose you again to schools where you don't know. Again, that's not to imply they'd be doing it worse or whatever, but just this way everyone's uniform. Everyone's on the same page. We're all doing the same thing. We have the same reporting structure, whatever it would be. So that's my sense of kind of what yesterday was about.
Rever, do you think it's likely, it's possible, or do you think that it won't happen in terms of moving things back for the Power Five conferences? If, in fact, they try to play just a conference schedule, can they move things back and try to use time as their ally?
When you say move it back, I mean, there are a couple of options out there. So are you talking about football in the spring, Tom? Or are you
No. Not in the spring, okay. But later okay. In the fall.
I think anything would be on the board. I mean, I think, you know, the scheduling thing is the next component now for them. And maybe I think that you try to give yourself a wider window to play fewer games. That's okay. Just my hypothesis. So, again, maybe it is instead of playing 12 games, now maybe you're playing 9 or 10, and maybe you give yourself 13 or 14 weeks to do it, and so then you have some flexibility. But you could move it back. There's been some talk of even playing in the spring. You know, Sandy Barber, the AD at Penn State, was quoted the other day as saying she saw that as kind of a last resort. So I don't know whether that's necessarily something the Big Ten's totally on board with right now, or that there's a feeling that's the direction it's heading. It sounded like yesterday, and, you know, we had Gene Smith on with us, we had Kevin Warren, we had Pat Fitzgerald, that kind of everyone's thinking, you know, let's see if we can give it a go in the fall. But I also think it was very telling when Kevin Warren was on our air on BTN and said, this is not a fait accompli that we're going to play football this fall. It is certainly possible that the season is canceled.
Yeah,
so when the commissioner says that, it's out there.
Yeah, and Gene Smith at Ohio State, hasn't he been someone who's been very optimistic these last several weeks and now all of a sudden is not assuming anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So I spoke with Gene yesterday, and he was quoted in May as saying, I think we're going to play. I think we'll get 25 or 30,000 people in the shoe, and I think, you know, we'll do the best we can within these social distancing protocols. And, yeah, yesterday he left open the possibility that it wouldn't happen. I think he's really disappointed in where the numbers have gone. I think a lot of people are, that we were on a really positive trend, and then we haven't been here subsequently in the last month or two. So, look, I think ultimately whatever the Big Ten does is going to be in the best interest of players. I don't think they want to put student-athletes at risk. I thought it was interesting yesterday where they said, if you're a player and you want to opt out, you say, I don't feel comfortable with this, fine. You keep your scholarship. You don't lose your standing on the team, any of that. You just say when, and you're out. You know, I think they're very sensitive to different people may look at it differently. Maybe you have a grandparent you want to be around, and you feel like, well, I can't do that if I play, or whatever that might be. I think they're open to and understanding that this may not be for everyone. So I think they left themselves as much latitude as they possibly could yesterday. All they said is the only thing we're not going to do is play non-conference football games, or for that matter, you know, soccer or volleyball or field hockey or the other sports that were in there. Other than that, they've left themselves open to any possibility, and I think there's a lot of stuff still on the table.
Rever, obviously the health and safety of everybody involved is first and foremost in terms of importance. But if, in fact, the Power Five conferences can't play, are we looking at catastrophic financial losses here? And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but there's a lot of money and there's a lot of reliance on the money that is produced from the football season in college sports.
Yeah, as you guys are aware, the college sports model is an interesting one, right? I have a colleague who says, you know, tell me about someone pitches you a business plan where they say you're going to run 30 independent entities within this business and 28 of them will almost certainly lose money. Is that a business you would sign up for? And of course, the difference is the two that make money make a ton of money. And, you know, football, men's basketball make a lot of money in terms of the attendance and the television contracts and whatnot. And so that pays for it. And it's been a system that's worked really well. And I know, Tom, you know, it's afforded members of your family an opportunity to,
yep,
to go play. I mean, you know, the non-revenue sports are a really important part of the collegiate sports model. And I think it's part of what makes it so wonderful is that you do have so many of those opportunities. And so I think it was very telling when Stanford, which, you know, essentially has money coming out of its ears, decided the other day to cut 11 sports. I mean, that really tells you something. Now, they have a massive athletic department, and we're talking about, you know, sports that a lot of people don't think a whole lot about, you know, the crew team and the sailing team. And Stanford certainly has, I mean, that's been part of the identity of the university, is they have a ton of sports and so many, a huge percentage of the student body is student athletes. But it tells you something if they had to make some cuts. And so I do think, you know, catastrophic for the Power Five, I think maybe a strong word. But to lose that revenue for a year, no doubt severely impacts what you're doing in a lot of these other sports. I don't see how it can't.
Right. Rever, the operative word that you've used is like they're open-minded on a lot of these things. And I know Wilbon doesn't like to project because who the heck knows what's going to happen. But we talked about maybe delaying it to spring. Could we have a scenario in the fall where some teams are forced not to play because of their situation, but some other states have better numbers and those teams within the Big Ten do play? Or do you believe the conference is either going to play whole or it's not going to play?
So I don't have any particular insight into that. So whatever I'm saying here is, I don't want to say speculation, but I just don't really know. But my sense is that they will work as a unified group. That's what I believe, because that's just kind of what the conference is built on. Now, it is possible, I suppose, that one school could in particular say, for whatever reason, we don't feel comfortable, or we can't do it, or there's a uniqueness to our situation. But I think part of what yesterday showed you, I mean, part of why the Big Ten has been so successful is that it does work in lockstep, that they've always shared revenue equally, that they have worked as this partnership where everyone works for the greater good. And some schools recognize that, you know, even though one school may not pull in as much money as another, that they're still better and stronger working as a group. So that's been part of the genius of the Big Ten. It's been part of why they were able to, for instance, start the Big Ten Network, something that hits close to home for me because they always recognize that value in working as a group. But this is uncharted territory. So I do think that you have to understand, like, yeah, I mean, I guess there's that possibility. just if something completely unique were to happen at one school. But my sense is that they'll try at least to the best of their ability to work as a group.
Rever, great stuff. We always appreciate the time. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll be talking to you in the fall about football.
Thanks, Rever.
All right, fellas. Yep, continue to stay well, Sylvie. Great to talk to you guys.
Great to talk to you, as always. There he is, Dave Revson. Really good stuff. He got to talk to all those newsmakers yesterday, the new commissioner of the Big Ten. You know, we're talking about David Ross in his first year and what he has to navigate. They've got a new commissioner in the Big Ten this year. I mean, it is just unbelievable on what everyone is trying to do to figure
out. To be honest, the more I think about it, the less likely I think it is that they have a spring season, because it just screws up everything for kids that are going to be focused on the NFL draft. Unless they just decide that, listen, we're going to lose several of our top players and we're just going to go play anyway, knowing that, like, for some teams, there's no way Clemson is going to get Trevor Lawrence to stick around to play quarterback for spring football season.
Or many other players on Alabama or Clemson, or pick your Georgia, you know, pick your power team.
I think it's either a modified fall sport season or nothing at all, and we'll just regroup and we'll reset when next year comes around, and hopefully it'll be a better landscape.
What do you think, Abdallah? You're the big college football fan.
I think we're playing ball in the fall.
Yeah.
Or we're not playing ball at all. And I think that even if you're going to see teams start out, like the ACC just announced they're going to wait a few weeks and announce at the end of July that what their plan is going to be. I think you're just going to see the goalposts keep moving until you absolutely have to make a decision. And I think that if a team is, because for every Ohio State that has to shut it down, you have an Oklahoma that has no tests. You know, Virginia just tested a bunch of players today. I know they're not a football powerhouse, but ultimately they had two positive tests or three positive tests. It's in the single digits.
You can work with that.
Yeah, so I think that it just depends, and I think that there are going to be enough schools that have this under control that are going to just say, you know what, we need the money, and if you don't want to play, we understand, but if you do, come play ball. And I think that it's different than saying, because a lot of comparisons have been made to Texas not playing high school football. There's a huge difference between schools and high schools that are regulated by government that to whether or not they can come in and actually go and attend school. My wife's a teacher. Like, they still don't know what they're going to do. They have a plan to either go online or maybe go Monday, Wednesdays, and then Tuesday, Thursdays, and then kind of do something online on Fridays. They have a plan to delay the start of the school year for a few weeks if they need to. They have like six different plans. That's different. High school, middle school, all peewees, all that stuff is different. Colleges operate on a completely different level. And if they need the money and they realize that, hey, we have enough kids on this roster that want to play, we're going to do it.
Well, in high school, remember as well, and it's good that you mentioned the money, because there isn't a giant pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for the Power Five schools, and that sponsors a ton of stuff. At the high school level, I don't think that high schools have the financial wherewithal to do the testing that would be necessary to run that program, that high school program, the way that Alabama's running it, or the way the Chicago Cubs are running it, or the way the Los Angeles Lakers are running it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the finances are just the hurdle. The financial hurdle is not, you can't clear it at the high school level.
Unless you're Cincinnati Moeller. You got the cash.
Yeah, absolutely.
312-332-3776. If you missed our Theo Epstein interview, really detailed stuff about the Cubs and about how they're navigating this situation. It's worth your time, and we're going to replay that coming up at 5 o'clock. I want to continue the football conversation, guys, because a current Bear was disrespected again in the national media today, and a former Bear is feeling disrespected by the NFL owners. All that next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
When you talk about the top of the wide receivers, you're probably, if you're a national guy, you're not going to think of Allen Robinson. I understand that. I'm not. It's like when we talk about elite NBA players. Like, if Allen Robinson was an NBA player amongst the wide receivers, he's not LeBron. He's not Giannis. But he's, I think, in my world, he's, like, we have an argument with Ryan Clark about a number one. Like, he's definitely a true go-to number one receiver. He's not the most dynamic of the number ones. He's not Hopkins. He's not Julio. You know, he's not Michael Thomas. There are definitely guys on top of the list who are better than Allen Robinson, but I do feel like he continues to get disrespected nationally. Now you don't. Am I fighting a fight against a ghost here, Waddle?
I don't. You know how much I like him as well. I mean, like, I'm a huge fan, but I don't think that, like, anyone needs to be scolded for this list. I really don't. I mean,
well, it's not just the list. So the list came out today. Jeremy Fowler for ESPN has sampled 50 NFL executives, players, decision makers. These aren't writers. And they've been coming out with these top 10 lists all week. Top 10 quarterbacks. We threw that around. Top 10 running backs. And the wide receiver list came out. Okay, fine. Allen Robinson's not on the top 10 according to these 50 people in the sport of football. He didn't even make the honorable mentions, Waddle.
Yeah, that's... He's definitely top 20 in the league in my book. What did the honorable mentions go to? They went... The honorable mentions were Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kenny Galladay, A.J. Green. He's been hurt. At Courtland Sutton from Denver.
Like Courtland Sutton, is Courtland Sutton done enough to show you that he is?
I'll take Allen Robinson over Courtland Sutton. A healthy A.J. Green, I'm taking A.J. Green. Kenny Galladay, I'll take Allen Robinson over Kenny, and Kenny's good.
Kenny's good, yeah, but Allen Robinson
I take Allen Robinson ahead of Adam Thielen.
I agree with you guys. I think Allen Robinson is a top 10 wide receiver. However, This was voted on by front office people, yeah, scouts, coaches, and players.
Yeah.
Coaches and players who are involved in games on Sundays, who don't watch Allen Robinson. So a lot of these guys are just going off of stats, and Allen Robinson has had Mitchell Trubisky and Blake Bortles throwing to him.
I've said it to you before. I said it to Trey. I think Trey was the first guy I argued with about it, and I want to play LaDainian Tomlinson on this in a minute. But, like, I believe that Allen Robinson has played with the worst quarterbacks in the history of the sport. Like, I don't think you could come up with another wide receiver who has like the trifecta of Hackenberg, Bortles, Trubisky. Come up with those three.
Yeah,
beat that.
Well, you got to give me some time to put the work in, but I think I could find somebody who's played with worse quarterbacks than those.
You?
Peter Tom Willis.
No, not me.
No, maybe worse, but who's done better with worse. So, like, again, he emerged as a second-round pick out of Penn State, an All-American. He emerged as a Pro Bowler out of Jacksonville with Bortles. And then now, post-knee injury... What did he go for? Almost 1,200 yards this past year and like 90-some catches?
1,147 yards, 98 catches, 7 touchdowns. He averaged 12 yards per catch.
So then there's LaDainian Tomlinson. So this didn't have to do with the list because now remember, Tomlinson works for the NFL Network. Tomlinson was an awesome player. Awesome.
Great, great player.
And he works for the NFL Network, and I guess they were analyzing the Bears today. We have this audio, guys, don't we?
Yes, yes.
He was talking about like the things the Bears need to improve on, and specifically looking at the wide receivers. Is that how it came up?
Yes, sir. They were asked what the biggest problem areas for the Bears were, and this was LT's answer.
For me, guys, it's the wide receiver position. And I know most people, when you think about this question, you might say the quarterback position, and Mitchell Trubisky. But, you know, the way I see it, in defense of Mitchell Trubisky, I don't think they did him any justice in what they put around him throughout his career. Now, Allen Robinson has had a bounce back career from last year. He had over 1,000 yards. So he needs to be a little bit more consistent. But they have to have other guys like Anthony Miller and guys like that to step up. In today's football, you should be able to take advantage of these defenses on the outside. And when I look at guys in his own quarterback class, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. You think about both of those guys. They came into situations where they had people to throw to. Patrick had a tight end, and Deshaun had a wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. So Mitchell has never had that. He has to play better, no question about it. But those wide receivers have to step up and help him.
Consistency is not a criticism of mine. I think Allen Robinson's been as consistent as anyone in the league. Listen, I think if you go back in 2018 more than 2019, Allen Robinson's numbers were directly affected by having the ball sail over his head or thrown out of bounds on a number of occasions when he was beating a cornerback on a route.
Yeah, and then in his first year with the Bears, he's also less than a year from tearing his ACL, and that's pretty good recovery time. You know, we knew we would see a better second year from him. It wasn't about consistency. It was about getting healthier again.
Yeah.
And I don't think Tomlinson's wrong on the Bears wide receiving core as a whole, because after Allen Robinson, who's going to, you know, establish themselves from this, they've got this quantity, but do they have quality after
Robinson?
Well,
shame on them, because they've used a lot of draft picks and a lot of currency on bringing in guys. So,
yeah,
I mean,
he needs more consistency, yeah, I think, is just some guy who's just scratching the surface from 30,000 feet.
I would say to you that the wide receiving room is still more talented than the quarterback room. Or as talented as the quarterback room, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I would say that the offensive line leaves me with as many, you know, strange feelings as any position on the offense.
Yeah.
Collectively.
And then I mentioned a former Bear. Did you see the quote from Adrian Amos on Twitter today?
I did not see that.
Okay, so this is about, again, this is where you predicted this, Waddle. While we were talking about baseball, you said this fight is eventually going to happen in football. And Adrian Amos, who was drafted by the Bears, now plays for the Packers. He tweeted this today about some of the stuff that the owners are now starting to ask the NFLPA for. And Adrian Amos tweeted, "We all want to play football. We also have an obligation to our families. Families come first. So if you were to say, quote, we taken some of you your money and we don't have the answers to whether you're going to be safe, end quote, comes off as disrespectful to most. It's take and take. Where's the give?"
Yeah, I mean, look, these are all, this is easy to predict. You know, I don't see the future any better than anybody else. These are all owners are going to claim that their revenue, their cash flow is way down, and they need a little bit of a little break. They need a little help. And at least it sounded like, and I don't know how far along the conversation advanced, but at least it sounded like to me that what the football owners were doing or talking about was putting a portion of this year's salary in escrow. Not that they weren't going to get it. They just were going to get it in delayed form. That's different than what baseball was talking about.
Right, right.
Now, listen, you play the games, you should get paid.
Yes, and Amos is saying that, look, we're, again, putting our bodies at the risk. You guys don't have the answer for our risk, but you want us to risk our health and now more of our paycheck because you want us to put it away. And so where's the give and take? He's saying it's take and take and not give and take.
Yeah, I'm a little bit shy of joining the group about the risk stuff, because everybody takes risks regardless of, you know, the coaches are taking risks. Trainers are taking risks. Anybody who's associated with a football team trying to get a football game on is taking a risk. Anybody that goes to their place of work is taking on a risk. The truth is an NFL player is probably going to have more access to medical professionals and testing than the average human being. Now, there is a risk. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there isn't. But I'm not, that's the part of the argument to me that's the weakest part of the argument.
Zach is in Spring Grove. Zach, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. I know y'all are talking about Allen Robinson and he having fit some bad quarterbacks. I can name you two wide receivers who have had way worse quarterbacks over their career. Andre Johnson, one of the best receivers ever to do it, and DeAndre Hopkins. Y'all mentioned him. They have had no quarterbacks. They had David Carr, Matt Schaub, T.J. Yates, Brandon Whedon. You name it. Garbage thrown to them, and they've been putting up numbers.
Would you say that Matt Schaub has had a better career than Mitch and Bortles?
Maybe Bortles. You never know what Mitch is going to do. Metchup wasn't spectacular. I mean, the reason why he put up the stats they did, their defense was getting throttled every game, you know? So, yeah, he led the league in passing 2 years, I think, but got to think he also threw a bunch of picks, and their record was like 8-8 those years, you know?
Well, I mean, listen, a lot of these conversations are, I mean, do you believe in the list that you read, Sylvie, that he was disrespected by not being in the top 10?
I was more ticked at the honorable mention and what LaDainian Tomlinson said,
yeah,
going along with the argument that we've had, that I've had with Ryan Clark and Trey Wingo. I feel like there are smart football people who continue to think Allen Robinson isn't really good and don't realize some of the talents. Now, I'm not taking it personally. Maybe I feel that it's a little bit like how I used to defend Jimmy Butler, that I always thought that Jimmy was better than he was. I feel like right now Allen Robinson doesn't get the national respect that he deserves.
I think Allen's a one. I just don't think he's a top 10 one at this point. And maybe with better quarterback play, you'd see numbers that would tell you or make you change your mind.
I think Chris Godwin being number 9 is a little premature.
Chris Godwin,
1 year, right?
One year, and he's got Mike Evans alongside him.
Right.
You know, it's... I'd rather have Allen Robinson right now than Chris Godwin.
Wow, okay. 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in. We've got what to watch for the weekend. And you will not want to miss the Theo Epstein interview. Really good. Candor as always. Theo Epstein, the president of the Cubs. You'll hear that interview coming up at 5.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Made it to your weekend. Happy Friday to everybody. We'll play the Theo Epstein interview coming up at 5 o'clock. A lot of details about testing, diversity, getting through a 60-game season, finances, strategy, runner on second. I mean, we touched them all, Waddle. To use a baseball reference,
we rounded the bases.
Yeah, I want to bring up the rooftop question I had for you guys during Waddle's World. So you guys are very against, not against, but you guys don't believe it's as exclusive and as cool to go to a rooftop and to watch a Cubs Cardinals game, a Cubs Sox game, a Cubs Brewers game.
It may be exclusive. But I don't think it's as cool as advertised.
I've only been to the rooftops once, and it was when we had a station event there a while back. I believe
that was awesome.
Before the Jumbotrons. Yeah,
I believe the Herd was in town, and
Colin was here,
yeah,
right?
And
you threw out the first pitch that day.
Yeah, and we went to the rooftops, and like I think I saw maybe 3 minutes of the baseball game tops.
Do you remember that day, too? I think that was the day that, and Wilbon just referenced this, that was the game that Rizzo debuted, wasn't it?
It was. You're right, Sylvia. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting on the top of the rooftop for this. And remember, the Cubs were really bad. But, like, Rizzo, it was for diehard Cubs fans, you know, Rizzo was supposed to be the next big thing. That, hey, Boston had him, and they thought so much of him that Jed traded for him in San Diego, and then they both wanted him back in Chicago. So we had a big boss. Do you remember Mo Davenport, guys?
Sure.
So Mo was one of the big bosses, and I don't even think he thought much of me to begin with. And we're sitting on the rooftop, and I was giving Rizzo a standing ovation from the rooftop in his first at bat. He's like, what are you doing? He looked at me. He goes, why are you cheering? And he goes, well, I said, this guy is supposed to be the next great thing for the Cubs. And he just kind of, you know, because everyone, like Abdallah said,
everybody else was there to socialize.
Yeah, I'm there to give a standing ovation to the Cubs captain, the future Cubs captain.
Listen, you want to spend $300 to be on the rooftop and watch a game? Go and do it, Goober.
$350.
I mean, that's for opening day. That's for the opening day summer. Like
no, but that's all. No, that's dynamic pricing. All the Cardinals and Brewers games are $350.
Okay,
Pirates are $250.
So, do you get as much food and drink as you do?
Yeah.
Like during regular time?
It says unlimited.
They
so
probably get more because you don't have to stay in line because there are only going to be a few people.
You get a boxed lunch.
You get an NBA bubble lunch?
Yes, a boxed lunch.
So if I were to give you a ticket, so that doesn't do it for you because you guys don't like that you're far away. So it doesn't matter that there's no one in the ballpark. But if I were to give you an exclusive ticket for anything, what would you take these days? If I told you, name your own COVID thing, that Waddle, it has to be something with 50 people or less, and we're giving you exclusivity. Are you going like a country music concert with just for you and your friends? Someone playing unplugged?
I may go to the Masters. If you gave me a ticket.
No one else on the course except you and just 50 friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I may go to the Masters.
That would be pretty cool. That's basically inside the ropes for everything.
Oh, yeah.
On every hole.
Yes, and I'm going to be able to do whatever I want, see whatever I want, because I'm going to have access that no one else really has.
It's not bad. What about you, Abdallah? You're seeing
a concert.
You?
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see a show at the Metro. Hashtag save our stages. Make sure you sign that petition because it's going to go. And we need music venues. Where am I supposed to watch concerts? Parking lots? Come on. It would have to be a show at the Metro with 50 people, I guess. And you'd have to space people out. Maybe be like, I have a spot at the Metro where I go. I have a spot where I like to stand. I stay at that spot for every concert, unless there's already somebody there, obviously.
Are you a dancer? Or are you a guy that dances in place?
No, I kind of watch. I'll head nod.
Bob your head?
Yeah, I'll bob my head along. I mean, look, back in the day when I was going to the Metro and seeing punk bands and stuff, I was in that pit. But now...
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I was a big pit guy. I was get me as close as possible... kind of guy. Now
you're
it's
not a big guy either. Did they ever rough you up?
No, God no. It's all nothing but love in the pit.
But what if you ask for it?
That's a different show. That's a different show. No, there's nothing but love in the pit. Like I've almost fallen before, but then like someone picks you up right away. It's cool. It's fun. But no, it would have to be a show at the Metro. I don't know who it would have to be, but it would have to be a concert, very intimate setting at the because the Metro is my favorite place to see shows. And so it would have to be there, yeah.
Did you guys ever hear the story, Danny Zetterman's friend, the first time they attended a concert, what happens?
No, I did not hear that.
I think it was a Green Day, Abdallah. I'm trying to remember. I think they were going to see Green Day.
Yeah, that sounds right. He told us a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and his buddy who was with them, it was him and three other friends, and I think it was most of their first concert that they were going to attend, and his buddy went to go enter the mosh pit for the first time. It was the opening act. And then as his buddy got into the pit, he got clipped in the face by somebody shivved him? Somebody's boot clipped his buddy in the face and broke his buddy's nose.
Oh, wow.
And so all four of them decided that they had to leave to go to the hospital because they all drove together and it was their first concert. So they had to leave before Green Day even took the stage.
Oh, that sucks.
Because his buddy broke his nose in the mosh pit.
What's code on that? I mean, do you leave?
That's what I said. I said, you know what? Yeah. You broke your nose.
What am I going to do for you at the hospital?
Exactly.
One of my, we were at a concert once.
I'm taking my buddy to the hospital.
His nose has been spread out
all over his face.
Do all four guys need to go?
I think you shoot paper rocks.
He's an adult.
Let's be honest. There's four guys. Chances are there's two guys that are better friends than the other two. Whoever's buddy it was, you're taking him to the hospital.
I agree.
If it's my buddy, I'm taking him to the hospital, and you let the other two guys stay.
Nothing but a few bruises for me in the pits back in the day.
I would not want to ever be there.
We did put my wife's friend in a car once, in a cab. When she got too drunk before the headliner started at a Lil Wayne concert, and we were like, "You're not." No.
So your wife didn't go with her.
No,
just a cab.
We put her in a cab and said, "Take her home." She was okay enough to know where she was, but we were like, "You're gonna get us kicked out." By the way,
did Meller tell his friend naked in the the hotel lobby story, or was that just off the air that you told?
I told you off the air. Okay.
You know what happened? So we had a Florida or Ohio story about that, and then you said you had a friend who did that.
I did, yes. My friend, she was... But here's the thing. Like, this is where it gets scary. She was in New Orleans. I think it was during Mardi Gras. I'm trying to remember the details because I wasn't actually with her. I was told the story after it occurred. She was with her boyfriend at the time, and they were, you know, just on a vacation, and I believe it was Mardi Gras, but it may have just been New Orleans. Who knows? And she relayed the story about how she basically doesn't remember, but all of a sudden she was in the lobby of their hotel naked.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. And she had to, I don't know where, I don't know how she came to the realization that she was, you know, she must have at some
must
point.
Must have been a mirror.
She at some point become, yeah, lucid, and she went to the front desk and basically had to beg and plead to be let into her hotel room. But I think the problem was she couldn't remember her exact room, and obviously
nobody helped her.
Well, no, they did eventually, but the hard part was she was naked and she didn't have identification. And she couldn't, they had to look up, obviously, her room number. And because she couldn't, you know, this is not like, if someone's naked and you're the front desk clerk.
You don't have your ID on
and they're telling you, hey, I need to be let into this hotel room, but you don't have ID.
Oh, sure. What room is it?
Okay, how about a robe first? How about, look, we got lots of robes here at the hotel. Let's get you a robe. Let's sit you down and let's sort this out.
Was she roofied? Is that what happened?
I think the concern was that something had been probably dropped into her.
I'm telling you, I tell my kids all the time, if you're at a bar, you get if you're drinking beer, it's in a bottle, okay? And if you're getting a drink, you get up, you go to the bar, and you order the drink from the bar, and you make sure you see what's put into the drink. You keep your eyes on what's going in at all
times. And don't leave your drink, right?
Exactly.
You take your drink to the bathroom.
Absolutely.
That is good advice. You don't want to end up nude in a hotel lobby.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
When it's okay again. Right now, don't go to bars.
I know Mitchell in Des Plaines wants to talk. Let's get to him after the break. We've got what to watch for coming up. If you want to react to any of the weirdness, 312-332-3776, exclusive tickets, whatever's on your mind, and the Theo Epstein interview coming up at 5. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. With mortgage interest rates sitting near those all-time lows and home values skyrocketing, there's never been a better time to refinance. Do so with my guy, Ryan Kelly. Check them out today, thehomeloanexpert.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. I want to take Mitch in Des Plaines. Can he actually, do you think he can go a day where he won't talk about Mitch Trubisky? Because I know he wants to hit football, but we'll see if he can get through this call without blasting Mitch Trubisky. Mitchell in Des Plaines, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up there, Team Virgo, Team Pisces? It's great to hear from both of you. First of all, Mark, you're kind of right, but let me just get through my point. The NFL is a major pillar to our economy. So even though that we're going through this transformational shift and change with the COVID and how it impacts the game, they're still going to do it in some kind of fashion because it funnels all the major advertisers in New York all across the country and the world. I mean, not to mention all the LA products. So the NFL's going, okay? Now, the bottom line is this. How is it going to play out with regards to the Chicago Bears? That's the big question. We know that Nick Foles is in town. And him and Nagy are getting together with all the coaches that have worked with them in the past 6 or 7 years. And they're all looking at each other, Mark, and they're saying, Mr. Waddle, you know what? This is going to be fabulous, okay? And when we start the fact that we're not going to probably have any preseason games, they're only going to have these 3 or 4 weeks of training camp. During that process, guys, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the whole entire Chicago Bears team and all the private staff members basically doing backflips for joy because Nick Foles can actually throw downfield. He can complete a pass. He can score touchdowns. He can operate the complicated offense that Nagy's all about. Let me just make it perfectly clear, folks. Okay, Nagy is a very sophisticated guy. He came here with a handicap. Okay, he wanted to be exotic, and he had to dumb down his offense because Trubisky wasn't too intelligent to pick up on the game or be able to read defenses. So let me ask you this, Mark, Team Waddle. Do you really think, let's say 2 weeks into training camp, that all of a sudden the momentum's going to shift back to Team Trubisky being the starting quarterback? Or do you think that they're going to finally realize this was a gigantic mistake and Nick Foles will be named the starter in the beginning of the season? What are your thoughts?
What does no games mean, Waddle? What do no games mean? Would that
no preseason games?
Yes. Like would that favor Nick Foles even more, or would that even it out for Trubisky?
I think it gives Nick even a greater opportunity, because I think Nick is going to be able to excel in practice more than Mitch. And there won't be any, there won't be the opportunities in preseason games for Mitch to catch a heater.
Right.
So
I'm with you. Because I think they spent the fourth round pick on Foles, wanting him to start. And if they were to be wowed over a four game preseason,
right,
where Trubisky, all of a sudden the light went on for him, and with less opportunities. I think that benefits Foles even more.
Yeah, and listen, it's from the moment they made the decision till now, I have no change of heart. I feel the same way now that I felt then, and I'll feel the same way. And I may be wrong. Maybe when they run out from under that tunnel for, you know, the opening game of the season against whoever the hell it is, I don't even remember who it is. Maybe Mitch is the starting quarterback. That's not where my money would go.
Okay.
What are the odds in Vegas right now?
Of Mitch being the starting quarterback?
Yeah, who's going to be the starting quarterback in Chicago?
I'm sure you could gamble it somewhere.
What about his MVP odds?
Right. Didn't Sylvie put some cash down on that last year?
I stand by that. I stand by the Mitch Trubisky MVP bet, that it made sense, like the Quintana deal made sense. Now, obviously, it didn't work out. But I think the rationale makes sense.
I have a Trubisky MVP ticket, like a physical ticket.
Oh, you actually did?
Yeah. So Randy went to Vegas last year for his annual Vegas vacation. He doesn't get to go this year, obviously.
That's why you're
This was for last year. And he brought back a bunch, because we all had to cover for him while he was gone. So, thank you. He brought us all these tickets. And he was like, you can pick one.
He brought you back a thank you bet?
For each of us. Me, Chris, Danny. Mellor, did you get one?
I did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it was me, Chris, and Danny. And so we each got to pick one. And I went, oh, this is going to be a good bit. And I grabbed the Trubisky one.
Oh, so they were all different.
They were all different. Yeah,
that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of a fun gift.
Did any of them pay?
No, I don't think so. No, because my philosophy was, if Trubisky hits, like, all the haters are going to be like, see, I'm going to be like, guys, I supported him from the start. I don't know what you're talking about. I put my money where my mouth was.
We should do that. We should do that as a promotion with Prop Swap or something, where we do have a bunch of weird
waste your
bets.
Money bet. We'll call it waste your money on this bet.
Light some money on fire.
It's just weird bets, and then as a prize, we give that bet out to callers. I think that's fun. Hey, pick a number and we've got a bet for you. Okay, you've got, you know, this golfer to win this tournament at these odds. I think that's kind of fun. That was creative by Merck. I like it. Let's get to what to watch for really quick.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with what to watch for.
Guys, I brought this to the table on Monday as my good, and I'll just refresh your memory. If you haven't seen it, Pat Boyle was asking me about it again, and you've got Apple TV. And if you, Abdallah knew the Beastie Boys story, so he knew everything that was there in the documentary, and it's less documentary, more about them just kind of being in front of a theater audience explaining the road of what it was like for three kids to grow up from New York and to make it big. If you know the Beastie Boys story, it's a really cool success story and a great story about friendship. It's only 90 minutes long. And if you have Apple TV, check it out, the Beastie Boys documentary. What do you guys have?
I've got something called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It's an HBO true crime docuseries that my wife and I were watching the other night. It's actually pretty good. Are you laughing? Did Mellor give that out?
But no, that you were on vacation. So you were on vacation.
Mellor and I both gave it out as a joint one when we hosted one day.
Yeah. What's it called again? Because I don't think I was here.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It's the story of Patton Oswalt's wife, right?
His late wife, Michelle McNamara, yeah. Right. Who basically chronicled the Golden Gate Killer and was largely, I think a lot of her work was largely responsible for why they were able to catch him.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. The first two episodes are really good.
Abdallah and I have been looking forward to it for months, so yeah, we were pretty jazzed.
I've seen the first two episodes.
Yes. Yeah, it's really good.
Gents, let me give you another HBO series, which debuts on Tuesday night, called Showbiz Kids. It's actually not a series, it's a documentary. Showbiz Kids, about kids who basically are childhood stars And it is directed, and the interviews are conducted by Alex Winter. Do you recall who he is?
No, Alex Winter.
Alex Winter played Bill in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures.
Okay.
So he's the director, and it's it has lots of interviews with childhood stars and what their life was like as they grew up in the spotlight.
Nice.
All right, Abdallah, what do you have?
Fight Island! On ESPN Plus, you can watch the prelims on ESPN. The main event, well, there's three main events, but it's going to be Usman versus Masvidal. Gilbert Burns was unable to fight because he tested positive for COVID-19. And that COVID-19 injury report is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org. Watch that and a movie called Palm Springs on Hulu.
Okay. Coming up in 2 minutes, the Theo Epstein interview, and he also made a pitch to Waddle on a new baseball rule, wanting Waddle to give it a chance. You'll hear Theo Epstein in 2 minutes.